Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, March 6, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailov here. I am joined by Sally Kistner from the from Savor the Arts and the Arts Council. Sally, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Sally. You brought a friend. We have with us Michael Cavanaugh. Michael is going to be joining us here in town real soon with the music of Billy Joel and Elton John. That show is going to be coming up Thursday, March 20th, over at the Performing Arts Center. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Thanks a lot for the time, man. I really appreciate it. Sally and I were joking in our pregame. We cannot imagine how busy you are. So just taking the time to talk to us and our audience, we really appreciate. Michael, we like to really get to know people around here, so I always like to begin with an origin story. Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
I grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio. And, my parents bought a piano when I was 7 years old, and I attacked it the first day we had it. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was all over the thing. And by the time I was in fifth grade, I had my first little band. I played in the school talent show, and the girls screamed. And that made me stop and say, wait a second. I think I'm onto something here. Because I knew there was no other way I would ever make a girl scream other than playing music. So I decided to stick with it. And, by the time I was 12 years old, I played in my first nightclub, which is crazy. And by the time I was 13, I was a regular. I was playing 3-4 nights a week. All throughout my teens, it was a pretty crazy time. And luckily, I've never been the type of kid who got in trouble. So I never got into all the craziness that I saw around me. It's been what I've done my whole life. You know, I got married, and we moved to Florida, and I worked in a piano bar, and then I moved to Las Vegas, worked in another piano bar, a dueling piano bar. And to make a very long story short, I got to know Billy Joel's manager, and his name is Max, and Max decided to surprise me and bring Billy Joel to hear me in the piano bar in Vegas, which nearly gave me a heart attack, obviously. It was crazy, right? But it turned out great because that was the reason I got to go to Broadway and star in Billy Joel's big musical on Broadway called Moving Out. Changed my life.
I cannot wait to get more into that with you. Before then, though, I do want to mention first, one of the things that we love in these interviews, getting to talk to artists like yourself, Michael, is hearing about those early, that first hit of applause or that first scream or laugh or something they get. I'm an actor, and I've been acting since I was a kid, but the first thing that I ever did like that was actually a breakdancing thing with a buddy of mine. And there was like 20 Ooh. People, but they clapped, and I can hear it to this day. I can still hear those claps. There's something about that, and I think for other artists really hear that and immediately just nod their head, because it's not about the, I love the attention so much as, oh, they liked it. Oh, they liked what I did. Yeah. Do you think it's more of that than it is just some, I'm sure for every artist, it might be a little bit different, but when it comes right down to it, for a lot of us that do this as a grind and everything, it's really about, oh, they liked it.
Yes, I completely agree, because when I'm not on stage, I basically blend it into the wallpaper, It's two different personas. Like my wife and I, we go to church, and my wife knows everybody, and I'm Karen's husband, and it's great. But then they see me on stage, and like, what happened to you? They're like, what is going on? And not that I'm, not that I'm swinging on a trapeze or anything, but I do take on a different persona, and it is true. I appreciate when they're hooting and hollering over what we just did on stage. That's a big deal to me. And then when I, after the show, if I go to a restaurant somewhere, I love to go somewhere where it's quiet and, that I go back to just being your everyday guy.
Michael, you mentioned playing piano at a young age. Were there any other instruments you picked up along the way or early on that helped you get better at the craft?
Yes. The first instrument I wanted to play was drums. I still think to this day I was probably born to be a drummer. Now, the piano thing worked out very well, but I was young. I remember I was like 5 years old and my parents bought me a snare drum and I banged on that thing nonstop. And then one day it magically disappeared. I'm still not sure I'm buying the story. My mom tells me about that, but, so then they got the piano and the thing that's great about a piano, and I tell a lot of young musicians this, no matter what instrument you play, what's great about a piano is you're looking at your hands, you're really seeing what's going on. You get a good picture of all the notes you're playing and the scales and everything else. Whereas on guitar, because I've been playing guitar now since I was 10, I've been playing guitar for a very long time. So I play a bunch of instruments. People ask me all the time, what instruments do you play? And I say, whatever it takes to get the gig. Piano's home though, for sure. Guitar is a close second. But you know, on guitar, sometimes you can think about shapes you're making and you're not really thinking about the notes. I know so many great players, guitar players, bass players, and you ask them to play a certain note on the fretboard and they fumble through it. Like, whoa, where's the A? Where's the C? But when they get on stage, and it's funny because these same guys can play a song they've never heard before. It's just like their hands know where to go, but they don't really know what they're playing. This is just a few of them that I know. Whereas on the piano, you kind of have to know what you're playing because you're looking right at it. You know, that's why I think it's such a good place to start.
I appreciate that. One of the things we love to do with this interview, Sally and I, and Eric, when he's here with us, is certainly, promoting you, talking about Savor the Arts, promoting the arts in our area, but also encouraging young artists and giving them insight, giving them some tips or anything they might need to get to the next level and everything. That's why we have so many of the, chances for these kids to meet artists and things like that. So really do appreciate that insight. I was looking through your resume, did my homework for this interview. I have heard of you before and certainly I've listened to you before and everything, Michael. I've been a fan of yours for a while, actually.
Oh, thanks.
But one of the things I got to be honest with you, I had not come across before is the comment that was there and something you mentioned earlier, you being handpicked by Billy Joel to star in a hit Broadway, the hit Broadway Moving Out. Michael, your resume is impressive. I really feel like you could save some time. All you need is that. That's all you need on your resume, man. You can just save some time, save some ink. I was chosen by Billy Joel to play Billy Joel. I don't know how anybody tops that. What did that feel like, man?
Well, it was crazy because, you know, Billy was and is, you know, he's my musical hero. He really is. Now, I'm also hugely influenced by Elton John, hugely by the Beatles. But if I had to pick one, Billy Joel was. When my dad played me Billy Joel the first time, it was like, whoa, stop everything. This is, what is going on here? I used to literally camp out in the snow to buy tickets to his shows. And I remember being a teenager saying, and I was probably just being a cocky teenager. I would say, I'm not only going to meet Billy Joel, I'm going to know him someday. And I used to say that and people were like, what are you talking about? And I was a kid from Cleveland. I didn't really know what I was talking about. And then when it actually happened, it was crazy. And when it was, you know, when he's in the piano bar and he's watching me and I actually don't melt down, that was a huge thing too. Because sometimes that can make or break somebody, how they can, you know, when that spotlight gets turned on, are you ready to go? Because I felt like I was preparing for that moment my whole life.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I held it together and it turned out to be a great thing. And Billy became a friend. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think you nailed the gig, man. Yeah, you definitely did. When it comes to doing this this performance that you're doing right now, this amazing tour that you have going on, that Pollster ranked this show in the top 50 touring acts shows over the last 2 years. Understandable, especially with what you just explained to us about choosing some Billy Joel. What made you decide to add on Elton John as if doing a whole Billy Joel show wouldn't be enough? No, let's just go ahead and put on another legend on there onto my plate. How did you come to that decision? Certainly, those two touring together certainly might have played a bit of an influence, but for you to do that, that seems like to take on a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I will say when they toured together, I remember the first time I saw that was, I think it was in 1998. I was living in Florida at the time and the Tampa Stadium. I was so blown away. When I first heard they were going to tour together, I couldn't believe it was even real. Because Elton was, like I said, also very, very big in my house. Very, very big in my house. So it started with, after moving out, I started performing with a lot of symphony orchestras. And I still do that to this day. And we started with our Music of Billy Joel show. And then they said, I started with the Indianapolis Symphony, but I've been with well over 100 orchestras all over the world, from California to Malaysia, all over the place. And when it came time for our second show, we thought, well, it's an obvious choice to go with the music of Elton John, another piano player. They toured together, another hero of mine. So we did that. And when we decided to put together our Performing Arts Center shows that which is what we're doing right now, we decided, you know, let's cast a big net, because usually people that are Billy fans are also Elton John fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I will say that the challenging part is these two legends have so many songs that for me to play all their hits, I think I'd be up there for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, when you can hit the audience between the eyes on every song, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
When you're following Scenes from an Italian Restaurant with Benny and the Jets, and then you're doing New York State of Mind, and then you're doing Rocket Man. I mean, it's like you're hitting.
Oh, I can only imagine. And Michael, you just set me up perfectly. On my list here, my very next question was, how do you choose from these two libraries? Just choosing from one would feel like it was difficult, let alone choosing from both. You also answered, you're such a good guest. He already answered two of my questions kind of already, because I was curious if you did the Scenes from Italian Restaurant. That's my favorite Billy Joel song, like top 10 favorite song of all time. I love that song. So that's cool to hear you do that.
I love that song too. Yeah. That one is. You know, it's funny because it was never a radio hit. But mm-hmm. Billy Joel told his own audience, it's probably 15 years ago, what songs do people want to hear most on the tour? Number one was Piano Man. Number two was Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. That song is just, it's like a masterpiece. I mean, it really is. I played that song so many times in my life, and I still love it every time. I do.
It's like three songs in one. There's like three different songs going on. It's incredible work. It really. I think one thing about Billy Joel that doesn't get enough credit is his songwriting and his musical production and everything. He's great voice, great piano player, obviously, but that part doesn't get, you know. And that's one thing I noticed listening to you. I didn't expect this part, Michael. Listening to you gave me even more appreciation of these guys in many different ways, and just I felt like I could understand their body of work a little bit differently. From a different perspective, while you do an amazing job, you do an amazing job with these songs. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, I'll get to in a moment. But you're not an impersonator up there. You're not up there in a Billy Joel circa 1980. You're not sitting up there in one of Elton's crazy outfits or something like that.
no duck suit.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Which is a little unfortunate, I guess. But no, I'm kidding.
Well,
you can rock
funny.
It.
People
I bet.
People have asked me. Oh, they've told me so. People have said, "Where's the duck suit?" You know, I'm like, well, there's a lot of guys out there who do that. There are guys.
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
I live in Las Vegas now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's impersonators everywhere, right? They put on the duck suit. They put on the Dodgers thing. They do the whole thing. And that's fine. I've never really saw myself as that kind of guy. I don't try to impersonate Billy Joel or Elton John or anyone else. But there are times when people will say, "I close my eyes and you sound just like him." Moments. And it's probably only because this music is in my blood, and maybe it comes out at times the way it went in. But at the same time, I'm not trying to copy them. But I certainly don't want to mess up a good thing. I want to give the songs their due. If a Billy Joel fan shows up and they want to hear me play "Angry Young Man" or "Scenes from an Italian Restaurant," I'm gonna smoke that thing the same way Billy does. You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna give it everything I have. But I remember when Billy's daughter came to see Moving Out, Alexa, I was so nervous. I was just as nervous for her to watch me as her dad, I think, because I just had these visions of her coming up to me saying, "Who do you think you are? Play my dad's
yeah,
music."
Yeah.
And she was amazing. Like, she came up, she gave me the biggest hug. She said, "You made it your own." She said, I love it. I love the way you play these songs." And that was really an awesome moment, you know, that.
I want to
it's
come back to
I
that.
I just said her name, and the Alexa in my room just started talking to me. I had to walk up.
That poor kid. I imagine she gets a lad a lot. We're speaking with Michael Cavanaugh right now. And Michael, when it did come to choosing the songs, how did that go? How would that process work?
So are you talking about my show?
Yeah, for your show, choosing the particular songs you'd be playing from both of these gigantic libraries. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, it changes all the time. So,
oh, wow.
I try to get a read. If I'm in anywhere in New York, we're going to play New York State of Mind. If I'm in LA, we may, but we may not. Like, I mean, they're so like, I might think, okay, we're in LA. Maybe I'm going to prioritize Uptown Girl over, because there's a lot of young people at the show, and they know Uptown Girl. I mean, everybody knows Uptown Girl, right?
Yeah, I know what
I
you
think
mean.
A lot
Yeah.
about where I am. I mean, there's certain songs that are always going to be there. I mean, if I leave the stage without playing Piano Man, they're probably not going to be too happy. You know, if I don't do Benny and the Jets, they're going to have something to say about that. But it is challenging. I do write a different set list for every show. I do. So there's definitely some wiggle room, and sometimes I'll have the audience vote sometimes. Now, usually if we do that, I'm not going to, because if I say, what would you rather hear, Crocodile Rock or I'm Still Standing, well, people are just going to be screaming all over the place,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
So sometimes we'll do it through a text message, and, you know, I'm not going to put those two songs up against each other because they're both too massive of songs. But if I take a song like, I'll say Stiletto, which I don't know if you know the song Stiletto. It's one of my favorite Billy Joel songs.
Yeah, it's good.
It's more of an album cut, but the diehards love it. If I put that up against Honesty, Honesty's probably going to win, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many songs to pick from.
It's such a fun way to do it. And I got to say, I don't know how I look to Sally, but my eyes are wide. I'm so impressed by that, man. Most people that I talk to do anything similar to what you're doing, it's a set thing every night. That's what it is. Nothing against that. Just that's what they do. The fact that you and your band, your team, you guys are able to do that, that is so impressive to me. I have no follow-up question. Just that's really great.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Peyton Manning at the line. I'm like, Omaha!
Yes, yeah, that, exactly. Michael,
I do that all the time, yeah.
Before we let you go, I did want to note one thing. I in reading everything, one of the comments that I came across I thought was so key. Kavanaugh is no impersonator, but the similarities between their Billy Joel's and Kavanaugh's styles are not to be missed. I thought that really nailed what you do so well, and so much of what we've been talking about here. You are just nailing these songs and hitting them and bringing us, whether it's back to the first time we heard them or for some the first time they're going to hear it in the first time of many. For you, what does it mean to be able to bring these songs out there and do that, and sometimes even to a whole new generation?
Bill, I tell you, the whole new generation thing really is amazing to me. I perform for all different ages, you know, and when a young person, whether they're a college kid or a high school kid or a teenager, and sometimes they actually say, I'm a huge Billy Joel or a huge Elton John fan, and I know all these songs, or sometimes they say, I've never heard these songs before, and I'm going right. I've already gone on Spotify, and I've gotten all the, I'm going to listen to this nonstop. It's really important to me because this music really shaped who I am as a musician, a performer, and even a songwriter. Like it's shaped who I am with what I do with my career, what I do every day. So it's very important to me.
It's great to hear. Michael, I cannot thank you enough for the time. We're looking forward to welcoming you into town. We're going to make sure you have a full crowd. Again, thank
awesome.
You for the time. If you do happen to talk to Mr. Joel, please tell my mother she loves him. Sorry, I had to say, my Jewish mother in the back of my head,
awesome.
I had to.
That's awesome. Yeah.
No, thank you, man. It was great to get to meet you and talk to you. Have a great, safe travels out there, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much.
Wonderful conversation with Mr. Michael Kavanaugh, a great guy. We're going to have in our podcast links to Michael's website along with Savor the Arts and some of the other chances if you want to get a little preview of Mr. Kavanaugh and his great work. Sally, how did you come across him?
Actually, I saw a video of him, and I had to see him. And so I kept watching for where he was performing, and he was at the Wausau Grand Theater, so I went to see him. First time I saw him, I absolutely loved him, but I had to see him one more time because he's a little on the expensive side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
So after I saw him the second time, I approached our Wisconsin Presenters Network folks, and we put a routing together to make it more reasonably priced for him, for us, for everybody.
Very cool.
So I think we had five or six in the state.
Wow, very
for the
cool.
routing.
Oh,
so,
that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And a thank you to everybody that worked so hard to make this happen and get him here and him and his team, because this is an incredible talent coming to town. And it's 5 minutes away, Sally. Like, wherever you're listening to us, it's pretty much 5 minutes away. Sally, let's give people the details of the show.
You bet. Thursday, March 20th at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. Tickets are $54 for adults and $10 for students. You can get them at savorthearts.com 24/7 or give us a call 715-424-2787 or stop by and see us 1048 Street South, Suite 101. And our office hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30.
And keep on listening to our morning show, everybody. Sally gave us a pair of tickets to give away, so we're going to be giving away a pair on the morning show. Be listening for that. And get your tickets. Don't wait. If you win the tickets, then you just got two extras. You can bring two more friends or something.
Exactly.
Get those tickets. They are not going to stay there very long. We don't get talents like this every day around here, so this is going to be pretty cool. We cannot wait for it. I did a mean thing here, Sally. I'm sorry, but I saved enough time to do this to you. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I did mine earlier. Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Do you have a favorite Billy Joel song? I got to ask the tough question, Sally. It's a tough one, I know.
I'm Still Standing. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Good one.
It's got to be right toward the top.
That's a good one. Thank you, Sally, for not only everything you and Savor the Arts do around our community. Setting up this interview with Michael was not easy. I appreciate you and Pam and everybody working together on this one. And Seth, our producer, and our sound and everything. Nice work.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Remember, everybody, get those tickets at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. Be listening. We'll be giving away a pair right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.